We're doing good so far. God is in the house. Amen. We praise him. I thank the pastor for the opportunity to come before you. It's a blessing whenever you can share the message of the gospel. My text is taken from Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 30. No need to stand because you know you'd be really tired if I had to read all 30. I'm going to cut you a break. I'm not reading anything. It's all in the message, so you can sit down. It's a familiar passage about the three Hebrew boys going into the fiery furnace because they refused to bow down to a gold statue, an idol. So for those of you who take notes, the title of this message is Stop, Drop, and Roll. I'll explain it as we go along. Stop, Drop, and Roll. It's a simple fire safety technique. I'm sure you all have heard of it. They teach it to children, to emergency service personnel and industrial workers as a component of health and safety training for fire. Primarily, it is a method to extinguish a fire on a person's clothes or their hair without or in addition to the use of the firefighting equipment. In addition to extinguishing the fire, stop, drop, and roll is also an effective psychological tool because it provides those that are in a fire situation with a routine that'll get you focused off the fire and get you focused on what you need to do so you can avoid panicking. So we have three components to stop, drop, and roll. First of all, you need to stop. The fire victim has to stop, ceasing any movement, because movement is going to do what? Get the flames all around you and activate them more. So you need to stop. Right. Next, you need to drop, because you need to get low so that you can have oxygen, so that the fire won't get to you. So you're lying down with your face covered so that you can protect yourself. And finally, you need to roll so you can get yourself out of your situation. If you have a rug nearby, you can roll yourself in the rug so that you can get away from the flame. Hence, we have stop, drop, and roll. Most of us would agree that this is a technique that everybody should know if you're ever in a fire situation. But I want to take it to another level today. I want us to look at it from a situation when you're in a fire, a different kind of fire. Might not be a burning fire, but it's a fiery situation in your life. And you need to stop, drop, and roll. And I'm going to explain that to you. We go back to our Hebrew boys. They used this method. They stopped. They dropped and they rolled. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they decided that they were not going to bow down to an idol. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to bow down to his gold statue, and they decided they weren't going to do it. So first, let's talk about these Hebrew boys. They were great friends. I think all of us know that friendships make life more enjoyable. And they help us in hardships. And these three men give us an understanding of the true meaning of friendship. All together, all three of them defied King Nebuchadnezzar's order to bow down. They did it together. And the result of their disobedience was that they were going to get thrown into the fire together. Now, I got to tell you, I love Mother Gloria. I love I love Sister Barbara. I love Tanya. But I don't know if I'm going in the fire with you now. I might have to think about that just a little. All three of us are going to decide that we're going to denounce King Nebuchadnezzar, and we're all going to go in there together. I don't know. I might be trying to convince you, friend. Maybe we ought to bow down. God understands our dilemma. He knows our situation. He'll forgive us, you know. He'll give us some grace. But no, these friends, they did not try to talk each other out of it. They stood strong together in faith, even though they were looking at this blazing furnace. And we're not talking about your oven at home. We are talking about a big, giant industrial furnace for baking bricks and smelting metal. So we're talking about it's hot. The temperature was beyond hot, and the flames could be seen leaping from the top of the opening. And the guards that they sent there to check on the fire, they got burned up checking on the fire because the fire was so hot before they even got into the fiery furnace. So now you know, they're standing there watching these guards get burned up, but yet they still will not denounce God. They still will not bow down to that idol. Can we say that today if we get in a fiery situation? Are we not going to denounce? Are we going to stand strong? I believe there's a message in this chapter for us today. You may be in a situation that feels like you're about to go into the fire, or you might already be in the fire. So what is God trying to tell us with this stop, drop, and roll analogy? First of all, he's telling us to stop. We need to stop and consider the fire that we're in. When you find yourself in a desperate situation, don't start panicking and pacing the floor and running around and looking for a quick solution. Stop. Consider the fire and realize that there are some things we need to know about fire. First of all, talking from the spiritual standpoint, fire touches the saved ones. I know you'd like to be exempt, but you're not. Fire touches the saved ones. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego loved God. Nowhere does the Bible guarantee that the saint of God will have freedom from the fires and the storms of life. If you came on this side because you thought you were running away from the devil and you could be free now over here, not going to happen. You're wrong. On the contrary, the Bible is filled with references that the fire and the storm is a part of the life of every believer. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16:33. So now, we realize that we can't run away from the fire because we're saved. Well, we also can't run away from the fire because we're serving God. Fire touches the serving ones, too. Some people feel that being a servant of God should guarantee them freedom from trouble. It might guarantee you more trouble, actually. Just like Apostle Paul. Serving God does not eliminate the possibility of suffering. So you can serve God all you want. You can be an usher. You can be in the choir. You can do all those things. But guess what? You're still going to get some fire. And finally, when we consider the fire, we need to know that fire touches the separated ones. There are some people who feel if they live a clean life, they have a hedge against trouble. If they're good enough, they won't get in any trouble. And if they don't talk to anybody, they won't get in any trouble. They stay to themselves. If they're totally separated, they won't get into any trouble. But guess what? Wrong again. Sometimes God will take the holiest person, the cleanest person, and the nicest person just to make his point, to put them in the fire just like he did who? Job. So we need to stop and consider the fire that we are in. The more we know about fire, the better off we are. When we realize that God doesn't send us there to destroy us, but to develop us, it can change our outlook where the fire is concerned. Consider the fire. It's going to touch you if you're saved. It's going to touch you if you're serving. And it's going to touch you if you're separated. So now we've got to the stop part. Let's go to drop. Drop means commit the fire. The three Hebrew boys committed the fire to the Lord. When they faced the fire, they knew that they could not save themselves. They were insufficient in their own power. They committed the fire to the power of the Lord, and they trusted the Lord to save them. When we face our fires, we too should commit to the Lord. There's no way you can deliver yourself out of certain messes. Some messes only God can deliver you out of. And we need to know and allow him to do it. So we need to just drop and commit it to the Lord. And the way you do that is you remember your connection to God. Daniel 3, 17 and 18 says, "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hands, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up." These men knew they were in a special friendship with God. They had a connection with God by faith. And because they had that connection, they were willing to go to the fire. Just like the Hebrew boys, we need to remember our own spiritual connection to God. We are not spiritual bums wandering through the world. We are the children of God. Our Father is all powerful. He owns everything, and he's perfectly capable of aiding us in our time of crisis. He has promised to never leave us or forsake us. I had an opportunity to remember my connection to God when my last grandson was born. Some of you have seen Tristan, the youngest of my four grandchildren, the little boy that when he comes runs all around and, you know, very active. Well, when Tristan was born, when he came through the birth canal, he encountered something. And in encountering that, he was unable to breathe. So when he came out, we didn't hear him crying. We didn't hear any noise. So my daughter's hysterical. And I run over to see what all the doctors are doing. And they're telling me he encountered something coming through the birth canal. And he's a very, very sick little boy. And we've got to take him away. And we don't know if he'll make it. And, you know, I'm like, you know, God, I've been through this before. With my second grandson, he had spinal meningitis after he was born. And I said, okay, God, I thought we had this test already. I had to go through this one more time. Okay, well, Lord, I'm believing that you didn't allow her to have the child and lose the child. So we're going to pray. So the doctors came back in and they told me that she wouldn't be able to see the baby for a while, but I could go over to children's because they had taken him and put him on an ECMO machine. Those of you that are nurses in the house may be familiar with an ECMO machine. It is the largest machine I've ever seen. It is huge. And this baby, this 8-pound baby, is attached to all these tubes, and I mean, it's just very frightening. And he does not look like he's breathing. He doesn't look alive. And they say to me, what the machine is doing is It's taking all the blood and putting the blood outside of his body into this machine so it can clean it from what happened going through the birth canal. And this could take a day. This could take a week. This could take a month. And we have no idea if he's going to be okay afterwards. We can only use the machine and hope for the best. Well, you couldn't get to him. He was totally enclosed. And I said, God, I got to be able to touch this baby. Jesus, let's find a way I can touch this baby. So a nurse came in. And she's like, are you the grandmother? I said, yes. And I really need to touch the baby. And she said, well, there's this little opening over there. You can get your hand. And all I could get in was my finger. Ha, son, da, 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 da. I put my finger inside this machine. And I just started praying. And I just started praying. And every day I went back. I put my finger in there, and I'd pray. Then I brought some of my friends with me. And then we all take turns sticking our finger in there and praying for this baby. So 2 weeks went by. 3 weeks went by. You know, I'm getting kind of nervous. Lord, now, I'm doing what I believe you told me to do. The baby not changing. What's going on? The Lord says, have faith. Have faith. So one day, week five, we go over, and there's an opening in the machine. Baby's still on the machine, but there's a window that has been opened. So now I can touch the baby, the whole baby, put my whole hands on the baby. And I'm like, oh, my God, baby's getting better. Now, mind you, baby has not opened his eyes, but heavens, Tristan hasn't done anything. And my daughter, of course, is hysterical. Well, and I'm steady telling her, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Week seven, doctor says, we don't normally keep a baby on this machine that long because really, you know, I've never said this to you, but it really is a life support system. You know, really, if we take him off, he's probably going to just die. And I said, oh, he's not going to die. You can take him off. Take him off. He looks at me. He goes, well, we need the mother's permission. I said, I'm going to call her, and she can tell you over the phone. Take him off. So I call. And she's hysterical. Well, what happened? What, Mama? What happened about? He's coming off the machine. Doctor takes him off the machine. Ha! Baby opens his eyes. Baby opens his eyes. And from then on, I don't need to tell you the rest of the story because you know the rest of the story. He's 4 years old. He runs around like crazy. Not one thing wrong with him. He's the smartest grandchild I have, intellectually sound. Nothing wrong with the baby. Why? Because I remembered my connection to God. I remembered God would do it if I committed it to his hands. Next, we need to remember the control of God. Two words used by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made all the difference to their situation. And that was, is able. These are words of faith. These men were not stupid. They knew that that fire was hot and it could destroy them. They knew there was no escape, at least from a human standpoint. And as they faced the fire, they were actually able to face the fire. They knew that even if they were thrown into that fire, that their heavenly Father had the necessary power to bring them through. God has not changed, people. He's still able to do anything that needs to be done in each of our lives. We did not do this. God, I just love how God orchestrates services. Like, Pastor had no idea what my message was going to be. But here we are putting in our stuff in the bucket, believing in our blessings, getting rid of all those stumbling blocks. Look at God. Why? Because God is in control. He's not changed. Even if you're going through the fire right now, God is still he's still in control. He has his hand on the thermostat, and he has his eye on the thermometer. And he's in control of the situation. In fact, when the fire does come to your life, it has to pass through the filter of God. Don't you know he already knew you were going to be in that fire before you got in the fire? Remember, when the fire is raging in your life, what does Romans 8:28 say? You all know it, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And finally, in that drop phase, we need to remember our commitment to God. When these men were younger, they had took a stand for God and committed themselves to God, knowing that they were going to live the rest of their lives just with God. They took this commitment seriously, and they were willing to stand any test. When the fire comes in our lives, it will be accompanied with a temptation for us to quit on God. You can be sure of that. To just give up. Have any of you ever been tempted to quit? You don't have to answer, because the answer is yes. If you've been saved any length of time, you've been tempted to quit. You might not admit it. You might not want to tell anybody. But there have been times that you said, oh, I'm sick of this. For those of us that were party people, I'm going to go to a club. I'm going to party. Or I'm going to get me a drink. Or I'm going to get high. I'm going to do something. Because I'm sick of this, whatever this I'm going through. Y'all looking at me crazy, but you know I'm telling the truth. I was tempted last week. Just last week I was tempted to quit. Now, there are many reasons that I could quit in my life. You know, I tell you all about all the stories of my life, of which you only know a small portion. And last week, I was just not having a good week. I was physically not feeling well, and I had not written my devotion for my website. And the enemy came in, and he said, I don't know why you are writing this. Not one soul reads this website. Nobody reads these devotionals. No one cares about you. The people in the church don't even know you got one. They don't even know. Nobody knows what you're doing. And I'm, you know, yeah, you're right, God. I should probably just give this up. And I don't know why you think that when you retire it's going to get better, because it's not. You might as well just give up now and stop writing that devotion. So for a brief moment, you know, I thought about it. And then God reminded me of Minister Katina. She had given a message when we were having prayer a few weeks ago. And she said to me, this was God's idea. Why would you give up? God said it's a good idea. She didn't know anything about what I was doing. Not a thing. And I'm like, look at God. He brought that back to my memory. I'm like, well, Lord, okay. Once again, I can't quit. God has promised to help us in our times of testings and trials. He never tempts us to quit. God's not going to tempt you to quit. That's the devil. Hebrews 13:5 says, he will not abandon us in our trial. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. The fires of life prove the reality of our testimony. It is easy to make vows to God when you get saved and it looks like everything's going to be going rosy. It's when those tough times come that you have to honor your commitment to the Lord. I kind of liken it to a marriage. It's easy when you get married. Everything looks wonderful. You got a great wedding, wonderful reception, great honeymoon. And then you enter the real world. And then it's time for you to say, I got to remember my commitment. Because if I didn't remember, you would be out the door. Or I would be out the door. One of us would be leaving. But we have to remember our commitment to God. Just like you expect God to keep his promises to you, he expects you to keep your promises to him. So when the fire comes, and it will, stop to consider the fire in the light of who God is. And then drop before the Lord and commit that fire to him, trusting him to give you what you need in your hour of need. And finally, roll. Conquer the fire. These men stopped. They considered the fire. They dropped the fire into the hand of God. Then they literally rolled right into the fire. When they did, they encountered just what they needed, not to extinguish the flames, but to get them through the fire. We will conquer the fire in these ways. We will conquer it through God's presence. He was with them in the fire. Remember that when you face the fires of life, you will never face them alone. The Lord showed up right in the middle of their fire. He did the same thing for the disciples when they were in the storm. He did the same thing for Daniel in the lion's den. And the list could go on. And he'll be there for you. And just in case you're not sure, Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you. And with my righteous hand." Isaiah 43:2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." Conquer the fire through God's preservation. Remember that he's a God of protection. He's going to preserve you. He will meet you in that blaze, and he will strengthen you in the day of your trial. He saved you to take you through the fires in this life and then on to glory. He did not save you to be consumed. Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Then conquer the fire through God's power. Remember that God is all powerful and he's able to take care of his children. It doesn't matter what your fiery furnace might be. The bigger your situation, the more you can rely on God. Notice the comprehensive nature of God's protection in that fire with those Hebrew boys. They escaped the fire with no apparent physical damage to them. Now, I got to tell you that you're probably not going to come out of your fire without a few scars. You'll probably have something to show for your fire. But even those scars will remind you of the faithfulness of God. And finally, conquer it through God's program. Notice that God had a higher agenda in allowing those men to go through the fire. He did it to bring glory to himself and to speak to the hearts of the heathens. Who is not going to believe in God if somebody comes out of a burning fiery furnace and they don't have nothing on them? They're not burned. They're not messed up. They're just fine. I guess I need to believe in God, because only God could have gotten them out of that fiery furnace. God may be using your fire to spread a message. You never know who is watching you, and you never know why the Lord sends what he does. May the Lord help us to handle the fires of our life in a way that honors him. Who knows what the Lord may be trying to burn out of your life? Yield to him and allow his glory to be seen in your situation. So in conclusion, I say, remember that God takes us through the fire to purify us, to develop us, to promote us. The truth of the matter is that you probably won't be much use to the Lord until you go through a fire. I hate to tell you, you're really not going to be much use to God until you go through a fire. The fire has a remarkable ability to burn off your impurities and to cleanse the object that is committed to God's power. When God melts you, he also molds you into a vessel of honor for his glory. So stop, drop, and roll is good advice if you ever find yourself in a real fire. It's advice that could save your life. Stop, drop, and roll is also good advice when you are walking through the fiery seasons of life. Learning to handle the fires of life the Lord's way can make all the difference between coming through the fire in victory or being consumed by it. Things might be going well for you today. You might be doing fine right now. If so, praise the Lord, because it won't be long before you smell smoke. It will be your turn to face the fire. When that day comes, and it will, handle it God's way, casting all your cares to him, for he cares for you. Do you need to handle a blaze today? The best thing I can tell you to do is stop, drop, and roll. Praise God.
Amen. I think.